The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
This is an old cliche, but it remains true. If you want to get out of a hole, stop digging. Yeah, if it's just common sense. If you're in a hole and you want to get out, stop digging. Well, that's the advice that I would give to a man that I used to have just almost unlimited respect for, and that's James McDonald, former pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel up in Chicago. I have watched with enormous sadness the fall of James McDonald. And what I'm reporting to you today, I report with a broken heart. Most of you know what happened. It was hugely public. James McDonald had risen to one of the most popular, well-known evangelical pastors in America. His radio broadcast was on hundreds of stations all across America. There were few Christian radio programs on more stations than James McDonald. I believe that James McDonald was one of the finest Bible teachers of our generation. I never listened to James McDonald without getting something from his teaching. I think we had him here in Columbus, I believe, three times altogether here at WRFD at different meetings, pastors' meetings, and so forth. And every time, I was just deeply blessed. He was quirky. He was eccentric. He was not extremely personable when you met him personally. But that didn't bother me at all, because God loves to use eccentric people. I mean, he does. I mean, take a look at history. Take a look at Scripture. You know, some guy walking around with animal skins and eating wild honey and locusts? Not exactly your common, ordinary individual. God often uses quirky, eccentric, even weird people. Hudson Taylor, read his life. That was one weird dude. I mean, he was a weird dude. So McDonald's eccentricities and he was not very personable to be around, but that did not reduce my respect and honor for him at all. And then the rumors started about financial things going on and this happening and that happening, and he denied them and the church denied them. And then a Christian journalist uncovered a whole bunch of stuff and printed an article, and it was carried on the Moody Radio Network, and a bunch of Christian news outlets picked it up, and then secular outlets picked it up, and many of the newspapers in Chicago picked it up and began to run with it, and it kept the accusations and rumors kept getting worse and worse and worse. And through it all, I kept giving James McDonald the benefit of the doubt. And I didn't want to believe it, because I have seen people ruined with false accusations, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then it really blew up. It really exploded. He had become good friends with a well-known Chicago radio personality that goes by Man Cow. His name is Matthew Eric Muller, but his radio name is Man Cow. Talk about eccentric, weird, strange, but very popular. He bounced around from radio station to radio station up in Chicago. And then he met James McDonald. made a commitment to Christ, became a member of Harvest Bible Chapel. He and James McDonald became absolutely best buddies. They traveled together, they vacationed together, and so forth. And it really seemed like Mancow's life had changed after he'd given his heart to Christ. Well, in the middle of all the accusations and the rumors, all of a sudden, Mancow went on the air with an explosive recording. It was a hot mic recording. Now, one lesson you learn in radio, always assume the microphone is on. Always. Just assume. Whenever you're around a microphone, you assume it's on. So don't say anything around it that you don't want everybody in the world to hear. Well, this audio recording was of James McDonald making some threats, some perverse accusations about the editor of Christianity Today. And I won't go into detail, but it was some really, really bad stuff. And it was James McDonald's voice. We could debate all day long whether Mancow should have gone on the air. Did he violate Matthew chapter 18? He probably did, but he was a young Christian. The bottom line is, McDonald said those things, did those things, and when that hit, the elders of Harvest Bible Chapel had finally had enough, and he was fired. Now, that's it in a nutshell. He was fired. McDonald kind of disappeared for quite some time. There were all kinds of rumors about him taking over one of the Harvest Bible Chapels in Florida, and who knows whether that was. Yeah, who knows? And now Harvest Bible Chapel has had a complete turnover in leadership. Every one of the elders under James McDonald resigned. They have a completely new elder board, totally new leadership. They are facing some real serious financial problems, and I hope they come back. I really do. Well, here's the latest. James McDonald is suing this Mancow, this radio personality in Chicago, is suing him for many thousands of dollars in a defamation lawsuit. He is saying that Mancow played private recordings. They were recorded in private. They shouldn't have been played. They were played on the air, and therefore Mancow is guilty of defamation. Well, first of all, whether it was legal to play private recordings, that's one issue. But McDonald actually said those things. It's on tape. It's on tape. And here's my opinion on this. And again, I say this with enormous sadness. And I've said over and over again, I hope and pray that James McDonald comes to true, real, biblical repentance and that he can be restored in some way to ministry. But a part of repentance is taking full responsibility. I use this standard to determine a spiritual person and a carnal person. Saul and David, both kings of Israel, they ruled next to each other, first Saul and then David. They were contemporaries of each other. They knew each other well. Saul is the prototypical carnal individual in Scripture. He sinned, and he refused to take responsibility. He blamed other people. He rationalized. He made excuses. Never, ever took full responsibility for his sin. David, on the other hand, also sinned, and probably sinned greater, deeper, more serious sin than Saul. But he took full responsibility. He repented deeply. He didn't blame anybody else. He didn't rationalize. He was a spiritual man. Saul was a carnal man. In my personal and humble opinion, The proper course for James McDonald was not to file a lawsuit of defamation, but to beg this man-cow for forgiveness. Maybe man-cow was absolutely wrong in airing private conversations. Okay. The biblical Christian thing to do is take full responsibility. Beg for forgiveness for saying those things to begin with and say, I was wrong, I was totally wrong, I was absolutely wrong, and I repent. And instead of suing, he should be asking for forgiveness. Now, the reason I bring this up is McDonald is beginning ministry again. He wants to be restored. He wants to be in public ministry again. I think he could be. I think he could be. But filing a defamation lawsuit against an old friend, even if they wronged you, does not give evidence of repentance. It really doesn't. And it just makes me unbelievably sad. Because the lawsuit is going to do nothing but drag the name of Christ through the mud again. And McDonald should be smart enough to know that a very public lawsuit will do nothing but bring to light all of the garbage about him from the past. It's not a smart thing to do, and it's certainly not a biblical thing to do. Pray that God would intervene in this whole mess.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, unfortunately, in the next few days, you're probably going to hear quite a bit about a documentary on Norma McCorvey that is going to air on the FX network. Now, many of you immediately recognize the name Norma McCorvey. Who was she? She passed away a few years ago. She was the Jane Roe in the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision. That's the decision that made abortion legal in the United States of America. Jane McCorvey, or Norma McCorvey, pardon me, was Jane Roe. That was a fictitious name to protect her identity, her privacy in this Supreme Court decision. And if you look at the history of it, the far liberal left pro-abortion people took advantage of a young, innocent, introverted young woman and convinced her to become the plaintiff in this court case that made it all the way to the Supreme Court. The strange, bizarre thing is, Jane or Norma McCorvey, who was the Jane Roe, never had an abortion. She gave up her child for adoption, and that's another incredible story. I mean, it really is. But the woman who was at the center of this abortion battle never had an abortion, but she went to court claiming the right to have an abortion. It became Roe versus Wade, went to the Supreme Court in 1973, and as a result, made abortion legal in America. That was in 1973. Several years later, Norma McCorvey realized what she had done. She became a convert to Christianity. She accepted Christ as Savior, gave a strong personal testimony of her personal salvation, and became a strong advocate for the pro-life movement. And for years, she spoke all over the country and all over the world advocating for pro-life purposes and against abortion. She said for years that she was used and abused by the pro-abortion people. She asked for forgiveness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, the liberal left hated that, and they loved her when she was supposedly pro-abortion, although it's not clear that she was ever really pro-abortion. But they loved her for the short time that she was pro-abortion. They hated her when she became a Christian, a born-again believer, and became a strong pro-life advocate. Well, she passed away back in, I don't find it here in the article. It's been a few years ago. It's not been that long ago, but she passed away a few years ago. Well, evidently, before she died, shortly before she was died, when she was in poor health, and this is very important, before she died and she was in poor health, this movie producer who has done other documentaries, quote, Born in the Wrong Body. Another one, Transgender Kids. Another documentary called Sex Robots. And another one, I'm not even going to read that one. This guy has a long history of far, far left-leaning documentaries filled with sex and whatever. Somehow, he got to Norma McCorvey before she died, interviewed her, and she recanted, supposedly on her deathbed. Her pro-life views said that she was used by the pro-life people. She was paid all that. And so in the very last days of her life, a movie producer, documentary producer, unscrupulous, took advantage of this dying woman and got her to say some very crass things about pro-life movements and so forth. I think he took advantage of a dying woman. And but you need to be aware that this documentary is going to be airing on the FX network. I don't believe a word of it. I don't. But I wanted to warn you that it's going to be out there. Hey, folks, have a great evening. But please, please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.